Well, good morning, Bethany. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 16. And I'll give you a second to turn there. While you do so, I'll just quickly introduce myself. Thank you for those of you who've welcomed me and my kiddos as well this morning. I have been here before, but if you don't know me, my name's Jeremy Edgar. I am an associate pastor slash youth pastor slash pastor of whatever they need, over at Bible Fellowship Church, which is up at Hiawatha Lodge. So I know some of you are familiar with that area. And I've been on staff there now for, this makes me feel really old, 16 years. And blessed to be able to come and bring the word to you this morning. Looking forward to doing that. So if you have that spot in your Bible marked, Exodus 16, we'll begin the reading at verse 11. I believe the words will be on the screen. I'm reading today from the ESV translation. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' Now in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted." This is God's word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we gather together as your people and come under the authority and instruction of your word, I pray that you would give us humble, teachable hearts and sharp minds, Lord, to perceive with the help of your Holy Spirit that which is the truth. I pray that we would reflect on this passage and be encouraged by it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title of the sermon this morning is Daily Bread. This is a sermon about God's provision for our needs. Those of you who are familiar with the story of Exodus probably don't need to be reminded, but for those of you who may not be as familiar, the Israelites here in this story in Exodus are in quite a pickle. They had been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years under the hard hand of Pharaoh, making bricks and building and under construction. They cried out to the Lord to deliver them, and he raised up Moses with the help of his brother Aaron to confront the Pharaoh to let God's people go. As we're very familiar, Pharaoh says no repeatedly, that they're not allowed to leave, and so God sends the series of 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt until finally Pharaoh relents and says the people may leave. So off go Moses and the Israelites, leaving the land of Egypt, and as they come up to the Red Sea, Pharaoh changes his mind and decides, "No, we're going to go after them and take them back. I changed my mind." So Pharaoh's army pursues. This is where the story where Moses, with God's help, parts the Red Sea. The Israelites cross over on dry land, and the water collapses in on Pharaoh's following army. It's an amazing story of deliverance and God's provision, leading people out of slavery and into freedom. But that's obviously not the end of the story, right? After that, now they're homeless. They've got nowhere to go. They've got no food to eat. They've got only the supplies that they have on their backs and they can carry with them, and they're in the middle of the wilderness. Like, what do we do now? And the story then is one where God provides for their needs as they wander the wilderness for the next 40 years. And of course, we see how many times they doubt. what God can do for them. And all I can think of is, wow, sounds exactly like us, right? We often find ourselves in situations and circumstances where we wonder, God, how are you going to get me out of this one? How are you going to meet my needs? It doesn't really seem like there's a lot here that's raising my optimism. I feel a little bit like I'm in a desert wilderness and you're nowhere to be found. And we begin to question and doubt whether God will meet our needs and take care of us. And yet, just like in this story, God shows up with provision for them every day. He shows up with provision for us every day as well. It is interesting, isn't it, that the command here of Moses is that in the morning you are to go out and gather up as much as you want, right? God is not stingy with his provision for their needs, but it's also curious that he says you have to only gather what you need for today. And those who were unsure if it was going to rain bread again the next day would gather more than they needed and it would spoil and go rotten. This is where we get the concept of daily bread. That God provides for our needs day by day. And so often what we do is we doubt that God is going to be faithful to meet our needs for tomorrow. And so we try to stockpile his mercy. We try to stockpile his grace in hopes that it will get us through the next week or the next month or the next year. And so often we realize that it doesn't work that way. So it's really about faith, isn't it? Faith is something that is not a one-time decision. I trust God to meet my needs forever. Rather, it's something where we wake up every day and we need fresh faith in fresh provision. You know, God has taught us to live a life of faith. That's the key theme of the Bible, and that faith is to be exercised day by day. The big idea I want to challenge you with and encourage you with is that God's provision for you yesterday is all used up. He gave you the bread yesterday that you needed for yesterday. And today he has enough bread for you for what you will face today. And in an act of faith, we need to trust that he will have enough bread for you tomorrow. How many of you can relate to this? Some days it doesn't feel like you need that much bread, you know? You're like, life is kind of easy, you know? Things are going well, and I just kind of wake up and do my thing, and God is good, and count my blessings, and the days go by, and no big deal. Other times, we are in the throes of it for a variety of reasons. Maybe there are financial strains, there are relationship strains, there are health strains, and so on, that cause our faith to bend and feel like it might snap at any minute. And it's on those days where we realize, I need a lot of bread today. I need a lot of provision. In fact, I don't know if God has enough for me to get me through this. Well, just like the Israelites, we need to take a lesson from who God is and how he meets our needs. He meets our needs one day at a time. And it's our responsibility to rely on him today, and it's his responsibility to be there tomorrow to meet us with what we need and continue to trust him one day at a time. This is exactly how Jesus taught us to live. Let's read quickly from Matthew 6. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus refers to this idea and how we should pray about it. Matthew 6, 9 through 13, Jesus says, "Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." When Jesus says, "Give us today our daily bread," he is probably picturing in his mind something similar to the manna in the wilderness. Those who would be listening to this prayer, this Sermon on the Mount, would all remember the story of God's provision of daily bread back in the book of Exodus, when the Israelites needed food in the desert. Give us today our daily bread. This is not an Old Testament story, right? We think oftentimes these things in the Old Testament are interesting analogies, and, you know, it's kind of like, well, that's how God worked back then, and God's a little bit different today, and maybe there's some truth to that. But the truth is, the Israelites back then needed God to meet their needs every day, and Jesus tells his modern-day followers, we need the exact same thing. We need daily bread. Now, one of the mistakes that we could make is believing that this passage is merely about physical bread, because that's what it was referring to in the original story. The Israelites needed actual food, and God rained and provided actual food on the ground for them every morning. And to be fair, each of us here, we have physical needs. We do need to eat every day in order to survive. And so when we pray, God, give me this day my daily bread, sometimes we're thinking, provide for my physical needs. But it's more than that, isn't it? We alluded to, even as we took communion this morning, this is not just a physical bread, it is a symbol of a spiritual reality. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us to pray for. Not just physical bread, but spiritual bread, which we also need every day. How do I know this? Well, one of Jesus' most powerful illustrations of himself was to call himself the bread of life. If you remember the story in John chapter 6, Jesus feeds a large crowd, 5,000 men plus more, with just 5 small loaves and 2 fish. Right? He multiplies all of this food to feed this gigantic gathering where there was no provision. And then the story actually continues that in the middle of the night, the disciples went ahead and crossed the sea, and Jesus later met up with them. And so in the morning, the crowd wakes up, and all of a sudden, the miracle worker is gone. They're like, man, this guy gave us free food yesterday, and now he's not here, and the disciples have left. Let's go track him down. And so much of the crowd follows Jesus across the water and find them on the other side, and they have this confrontation with Jesus, and they start to say things like, hey, well, you know, you disappeared. Where did you go? And he starts to question their motives and saying, you're only following me because I fed you food yesterday. And they say, well, we'll believe in you. We'll believe that you're the Messiah if you can give us a sign. He just performed an amazing miracle yesterday, but now here they are asking for a sign. And Jesus basically says he's not going to do it. And they say, well, hey, you remember that story in the Old Testament, Jesus, where God sent bread from heaven? Can you do that one for us? And of course, Jesus sees their motives, right? These people are not interested in him. They just want their stomachs filled for free. Here's what he says in the context of all that in John 6, 48 and following. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus looks at these people and says, it was a pretty great miracle that I performed for you guys yesterday, feeding the crowd with just a tiny little bit of food. That's not what you really need, though. There's something you need more than physical bread. You need spiritual bread from heaven, and that is me. So often we get focused on all of the challenges that we face in life that are physical. We can see them. We can observe them with our own senses. But the greatest need that we all have is to have the bread of life. Not just the physical hunger, but the spiritual hunger satisfied. And Jesus is the answer for that hunger. Another way to say it is, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are asking God to give us our daily dose of Jesus. I need Jesus today, the bread of life. I need him to come into my life, to satisfy my needs, to satisfy my wants, to fill the longing of my heart. I need that more than I need to eat food. I need Jesus in my soul. So the manna in the wilderness, even though it was a real story with real food and real people and real bread, is actually an image or a foreshadowing of the true bread from heaven that God would provide, which is Jesus, his son. The real bread that you need is Christ. So often we find ourselves praying that God would take away the challenges and the circumstances of our lives. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what we need more than God to fix our problems is to give us himself. And when we have Christ in our lives, that's where we get the power and the peace and the strength to face the challenges that are inevitably going to fall upon us. And as that story teaches us in the beginning, this is something that we need every single day. You know, sometimes we get into the habit of calling ourselves Christians, which is, of course, a good thing. The early believers in the New Testament are referred to as Christians, so that is a perfectly fine term. I'm not criticizing it. But sometimes when we call ourselves a Christian, what we really mean is, I made a decision a while ago. But we're not just people who made a decision to follow Christ or to put our faith in Him or to receive His forgiveness a while ago, and that's old news. We are followers of Jesus today. It's meant to be a daily walk with the Lord, not something that we live off of our past decisions. We need Jesus in our lives every day. This has to be active, ongoing, daily, just like it was with manna in the wilderness. And the Bible is teaching us very clearly that what we need more than anything is Christ. God meets our needs through Him. Here's how it's put in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." How does God meet your needs? Answer, in Christ Jesus. That's the solution for the world. That's the solution for you. All of us have hungers. We have desires. We have yearnings. We have longings. We seek to be known. We seek to be loved. We seek to be at peace. We seek to belong. We seek, rather, to have all of these personal needs met, and so often we turn to all the wrong things. The Bible here is saying God will meet all of your needs in one person, Jesus Christ. May we stop turning to the things of the world to fill those longings and instead turn to Him. You know what's great too about this passage? It's not just that God will supply for your needs, and it's not just that Christ is the answer, but it says that He will do so according to His riches in glory. Which is another way of saying, God is not stingy in His providing for your needs. It's not like God has a limited amount of grace that He has to dole out to the whole world, and so He has to ration it out in little bits. No, God is rich. His grace is abundant, and it can overflow and pour out in your greatest time of need. He's not stingy with you. What did it say when Moses was instructing the Israelites to go out and gather food? What did he say? Take as much as you need. However hungry you are today, fill up your basket and take that. Which kind of implies that some days, the hunger's not that strong. Other days, we are starving for answers. And in those days, God has enough to meet your needs. He has enough to meet your needs on the easy days. He has enough to meet your needs on your worst day ever. You know, I know that in a group this size, you are all coming in here with lots of different things weighing heavy on your heart. Burdens that you've been carrying, perhaps for a little while, perhaps for a very long time. And you feel like, my provision needs to be generous. It needs to be great. I need a lot of Jesus. Well, guess what? He's rich in what He will give you. He will meet whatever your need is for today. Why does it not feel that way then? It's a valid question, isn't it? Why is it then that sometimes trusting God is so difficult? I mean, if He's this generous God who pours out all that I need, then how come I don't always feel that way? Well, Jesus answers, I think, this question as well, also in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go and put ourselves under His instruction here for a moment. In Matthew 6, verse 31 and following, Jesus says this. He says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, how does this passage instruct us on trusting Jesus to provide for our needs? Well, the answer is to remind ourselves it happens one day at a time. When you are in a personal crisis, when things are falling apart, and when you feel like you are in over your head and you cry out to God and you think, I need you to help me through this, I need a lot from you, and he provides a little bit for you, you look at it and you think, this isn't going to be enough. This is not enough. This is a crisis. Like, Lord, this needs to be a much more generous portion than what you're giving me. And what his answer is, that's just for today. I'll have more for you tomorrow. So often we're looking for God to answer our needs, to give us his provision so that it's going to be enough long term. And then we think, okay, I know God's going to take care of me because he gave me everything I need up front. This challenge I'm facing, it's going to be weeks and months and years to fight my way through. And so we're looking for that much provision in one day. God says, no, that's not how it works. I meet your needs today, and you need to trust in me that I'll meet your needs tomorrow. And then the next day and the next day. It's a walk by faith. So Jesus is teaching us that the anxiety that we have that God will not meet our needs is because we're expecting him to give us all that we need for a long period of time. We're worried about tomorrow. And Jesus is saying, well, each day has enough trouble of its own. God will meet all of your needs today. And when tomorrow comes, he'll be there too, providing whatever you need. If it's a little, he'll provide that. If it's a lot, he can provide that too. But just enough for one day at a time. Pretty interesting, isn't it, that the Israelites struggled with this very concept. They literally were promised that God would rain down this bread from heaven every morning, go out, collect everything you want, as much as you want. It's totally fine. But the key was, don't keep enough for the next day. And some of those Israelites were a little panicky. Well, what if it doesn't come tomorrow? What if the bread doesn't show up? What if God doesn't show up for me tomorrow? I better collect more than I need right now. And what happened to that? It spoiled. And the analogy is that's exactly what happens to our faith. We're looking to God to say, give me everything that I need up front. And then we wonder why our faith is not the way it should be, why it feels like it's spoiled. Because God will give you what you need for today. And then he will meet you again the next day with what you need then. It's one day at a time. It's just something that we struggle with, isn't it? Jesus here is teaching us that our anxiety comes from really not trusting that God will meet us tomorrow with what we need for tomorrow. Because he never says our problems are gone. He says each day has enough trouble of its own. You've got enough problems to deal with today. God will give you all the bread you need for today. But you have to trust him that in the morning, you will have Jesus afresh ready for you, to meet you with whatever you need. I think really the key to understanding this is to recognize that what we're talking about is God's character. What kind of God do we believe in? What kind of God do we follow? Do we follow a God who is stingy? We do not. Do we follow a God who is fickle when it comes to fulfilling his promises? He's reliable one day, but questionable the next. We do not. Our anxiety would melt away when we recognize the faithfulness of God. Just like those Israelites wandered for 40 years, and God was there meeting their needs every day for 40 years in a row, he will do that for you. Week after week and month after month, year after year, and even decade after decade, there's enough Jesus for all of us, no matter what you're facing. We alluded to it a few times in a couple songs that we sang here this morning, but one of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture is from a book we very rarely read, Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." See how these concepts are together? The idea of God's mercy being present for us every morning is connected directly to God's faithfulness. How do you know God's going to be there tomorrow? How do you know he will give you enough? How do you know he will continue to actually fulfill the promise that he has made? Because he's faithful. This is why we have the scriptures. Because we have story after story over thousands of years of God's undying faithfulness to fulfill the promises that he has made. When we begin to question and doubt that God is going to fulfill the promises to us, we turn to scripture to remind ourselves he was faithful then, he will be faithful now. The same God who met their needs in the wilderness, the manna in the desert, every single day, is the same God who looks at you and says, "I will give you daily bread, as much as you need. You are not needing to be stingy. Jesus is generous. His needs are great. His provision is faithful." Our responsibility is merely to trust in those new mercies every single morning. So what is the take-home point for each of us? Well, quite simply, it's this. God has enough bread for you today. To get you from morning to evening, he has enough for you. And when you start to feel that sense of panic where you feel like, "I don't know how I'm going to get through this," that's because you don't have enough bread to get through it. You just have enough bread to get through today. Those of you who are older saints who have walked with the Lord for many years, I know you can testify to this, that you look back on some things you've been through and you think, "I didn't know how I was going to make it. I felt like I could not get through this. And yet God was faithful. He met me where I needed to be every single day. Great was his faithfulness." Friends, we need Jesus afresh every day. We need new mercies every morning. Gone are the mercies of yesterday. They're all used up. But there are fresh mercies here today, this morning, for you. Jesus is here for you. No matter what challenge you bring into this building today, no matter what burden you carry, Jesus is here for you. And even though you look at it and think, "Well, that's just one day. What about tomorrow? I don't know how I'm going to do this." Well, he'll be there too. Fresh in the morning, tomorrow and the next day, great is his faithfulness. We can count on that. We can trust in that always. What we need is the faith to see it. We don't need to gather up more than we need, like the Israelites did, not sure if the bread was going to be there tomorrow. No, just get what you need for today. And then tomorrow the provision will be there. And I've gotten in the habit of adopting some of this language into my own prayer life. And I know when things are not going right for me on a particular day, sometimes I turn to prayer and I say, "Lord, I need a lot of bread today." This is the language I've been using in my own personal life. Like, today's a lot of bread day, you know? Things are just not good. I'm frustrated. Things are not going the way that I want them to. I feel my, you know, sinful, frustrating self rising to the surface. I need a lot of bread today. God's never let me down. And it's not because there's anything special about me. It's because there's a lot special about him. Whatever your unique circumstance is, Jesus can meet that need. But I want you to know he's going to do it one day at a time. Understanding that one simple concept will transform your walk with him. I remember growing up in youth group, like many of you did, and like some of you are, I had a bit of a misconception that my life with Jesus was all about how committed I am to him. And don't get me wrong, being committed to Christ is obviously a high priority. But we used to do a lot of these things where we would be challenged as teens to recommit ourselves to Christ. You know, at like a youth camp or a special event, and there's an altar call and things like that. Recommit yourself to the Lord. And so I would do it. And then, of course, by like 2, 3, 4 days later, I feel like I'm right back to my old self. You know, all the same sins I struggle with are right there. And, you know, I feel like my high of commitment has dropped right back down to same old Jeremy. And it was just this roller coaster, up and down, up and down. The problem that I had was thinking that if I just committed to Jesus one time, I would have all of him and it would just stay that way forever. No, every day we need Jesus afresh. We need his provision every day. It's got to be fresh every day. It's not that we invite Christ into our life or make a commitment to him and now it's just there forever. We used up that provision. Now we need new provision for the new challenges of today. It's not really about our faithfulness to him because our faithfulness comes and goes. It's really about his faithfulness to us. And that is steadfast. Never ceases, never stopping. Our job simply is to trust in him every day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that we are coming into this service this morning, each of us with our own unique needs and our own unique challenges. I know that some of us are weighing heavily with burdens on us, more so than others, and sometimes we doubt that we're going to be able to make it through this. Lord, help us to erase those doubts in light of the truth of your word, which says very plainly that you have riches to supply for all of our needs in Christ Jesus. May we stop turning to all of the wrong things to meet our needs, to satisfy our wants, to fill our longings, and get us through the day. Rather, help us to turn to your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the living bread of life, who will meet our needs afresh every morning. And may we walk with you as faithfully as you walk with us. Thank you, God, for your steadfast love, which never ceases, for your mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Drive these truths down deep into our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.